8:07, FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings Wednesday edition. Dr. Bill says, okay, it's on him, and I trust him because he's good at this, today the last day of the, what I'll deem the stupid heat wave we've been going through. 99 yesterday, he says we may make 100 degrees today. That's not heat index, that's like actual temperature. But then this dry front comes on in through the state of Alabama. It'll get to our buddy Jeff Poor up in North Alabama first, then work its way down to us, and maybe upper 80s by tomorrow.
Yeah, I think Dr. Bill said the feels like today is 212 degrees.
Kelvin. Actually, yeah, it's actually registered in Kelvin. But yes, there's some break by the end of the week and the weekend. So good news there. All right, speaking of Jeff Poor, here he is with Yellowhammer News, Breitbart, Lanyap, and of course the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN in Huntsville. Hey, man.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on.
You're gonna have like, if we get upper 80s here and lows right around 70, up there in the northern north of the wall in Huntsville, y'all are going to have probably 60s and 70s, man. I'm jealous.
I might have to break out the sweater.
It's like, this is enough. Enough of summertime, man. I'm ready for fall. You've been, as always, traveling around the state. You're in Montgomery now. You were in Dothan. Now you're heading back to Huntsville. What took you to Dothan?
So Yellowhammer News did an event yesterday about rural broadband. And I know you've talked a lot about this, but there's a real push. They got money to use to get broadband internet out to some parts of the state that that don't have it, and then the Wiregrass, obviously, I think in rural parts of the state, that's one of them.
You know, I may be changing on this. At first, I am for private companies getting broadband out there. I was one that was slow to warm to the idea of it being a government paid rural broadband, but you can make an argument, I think, that the way you say you build roads into places so businesses can exist and people can commute to jobs, I think you can at least make that argument fairly, that rural broadband is whether it's a TVA initiative or a Eisenhower Interstate initiative, there's at least some argument that government should be involved.
Right, when you talk about right of ways and getting the means to get the cable or the internet to people's homes, yeah, there is a government component to it, obviously, and it's regulated by the government. But I think at some point in some places you have to get the government involved to get it there.
And what kind of money are we talking about here?
I mean, it just varies. I wish I knew more about it to tell you a dollar amount, but it is not cheap, though, is what they will tell you. What they want to do, they want to use the power line right of ways to get it out there, and that's sort of the co-ops, the Power South, the Alabama Powers are all kind of getting involved here. And my guess is they're probably lobbying the government for a lot of money to get this done and make government a part of it, to at least subsidize it to a degree.
Yeah, I wonder if they will use the same infrastructure. I don't know if they're still out there, but remember Link phones?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was started by Alabama Power, maybe others. They were using the power lines they had run somehow already to run cellular down or something like that. They use that grid to power these, I guess,
Southern Link.
Yeah, Southern Link, the Link phones.
Like, walkie-talkies.
Yeah, and they were using the power lines for that. I wonder if that's the same idea of pushing the broadband, pushing the internet down those power lines.
If it works that way, I don't know that it works that way. I think it's a little more complicated than that. That's why we have these policy forums and things of that nature right now. But I will say this, you got to watch these utilities, and there's a lot of interest in this right now. Somebody's going to make some money off of this. I just know when the city of Opelika was the first to get the gig of internet up and down, the mayor there, I talked to him quite frequently, the big utility companies in the state fought him. The telecoms fought him. They hired all these lobbyists. But they did a referendum in Opelika, and the people passed it. It turned out to be a boondoggle, and the city had to divest itself of it, as most things in government are. But the interesting to me now that the government involvement in the internet is sort of they sort of changed their tune, the same actors this time around.
Okay, yeah, so and I remember you and I talking about it. Maybe we did talk about it on the show, but the city of Opelika, they decided we want better internet ourselves, right? So we're not going to depend on somebody else. We're going to contract to get that internet into the city.
Yeah, so essentially they had like Charter or something like that, and it just wasn't very good. And the mayor, the city council there, they begged and begged and begged them to do something about it, and they never would. They just told them to go pound sand. So City of Opelika comes in, and then they start their own internet company, and then they are the first in the state to do it. It's very expensive when they did it, probably 5-6 years ago, back when this kind of speeds were unheard of. But it was very expensive, and it was kind of that mayor. That's a very good mayor in Opelika. They've had a lot of economic growth. He always wins by like 70%. But that was his one Achilles heel, was the internet thing, because it just was a burden on the taxpayers in Opelika. It was eventually divested out of it, and now a private company does it. And the private company could do it cheaper, but and they still have the same service. But I guess it took that government initiative to get it in and get it done first.
Well, you know, whether... I see the pitfalls of that, and if you have the Department of Internet building there in Montgomery, I'm worried about that, but maybe you can incentivize the private sector to move into areas that aren't, because they're not there because it's not profitable. Let's put the hay down there with the horses and get after it. I mean, they're not providing internet there because there are not enough subscribers to make it worth rolling out the infrastructure. So maybe there's some kind of, if you build it, we'll give you a break system, you know, so the private entities would do it, but we could motivate them to get into some of these communities that normally they wouldn't see as being profitable.
Well, that's what they were talking about. So, you know, we like to talk about the Black Belt getting it wired up for internet, right, all the time. And as it turns out, you know, maybe not everybody in the Black Belt wants internet. Maybe they don't, you know, maybe they use their phones or whatever. They don't want internet. Or they don't have the means to pay for it. So they can lay all the cable and do all of that, lay that out there. But just because it's done like that doesn't mean you're going to have the subscribers. And that's what they're trying to do. I guess trying to figure out the data, the demand for it in some of these places where it can't reach. And, you know, why? It's not like if you build it, they will come. I mean, that's not necessarily true. There's a lot of people that just don't care about having the internet.
Although, let me make a good old boy argument here from a guy who spends a lot of time in rural parts of our state. I have seen, and people nod along with me if you think I'm right, I have seen DirecTV or Dish systems on the side of tar paper houses. You know, I've seen not enough money for anything else, but dang it, there's a satellite delivered TV so they can watch their stories.
Yes, or watch their football or whatever.
Right. I mean, people do. I mean, so, and no, can I say what's in everybody's mind? Do they want internet? Do they have the ability to pay for it? I don't know. Depends on the rate. But I have been shown that people, while they will not spend money on other things, will figure out a way to get entertainment into their homes.
I mean, is that good behavior you want the government encouraging?
I don't know.
I mean, that's the argument, you know. How much government do we really need? And as government goes, do we really? It's like you say, you don't want the Department of the Internet in Montgomery. Who knows how that would work?
Right.
But once you get your foot in the door there, I mean, you're kind of heading in that direction. You're not turning it around.
All right. Coming back from the break, more with our buddy Jeff Poore. A couple things to talk about: Doug Jones and Kavanaugh, the about face, or the retelling of the story, or something to that effect. We'll get that from Jeff when we return. A 20 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Get back to our conversation with Jeff Poore from Lagniappe, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, host of the Jeff Poore Show on WVNN. Man is traveling through the state. Like the politicians tell you they do, this guy actually does. Knows those 67 counties of the state of Alabama. You know, Jeff, I'm looking at quite a few texts here about the rural broadband. And it's one of these things that actually you can tell there's some trepidation because I'm torn on this. I can argue this completely anti the government getting involved in it, and then I can turn around and make an argument, say, is this different than rural electrification or roads and power and all that kind of stuff? Is this an infrastructure or is this a luxury?
Right. Well, here's the deal, and they'll tell you this too. So there are places where they think they can lure in economic development, be it the next car maker, be it whatever. The problem is the quality of life in these out of mine places in Alabama needs to improve. It's the same argument with rural health care. It's the same argument with you know the schools, the education there, and a lot of people are reluctant to locate there. So as an enticement, even though you don't have a customer base there yet, why not get the groundwork laid and get it ready to go for the rural broadband? And that's, if you could show me that that's a possibility, I think maybe in some places, but there's some places are in the Black Belt. I can't imagine that they're so far removed. Where would you get the employees to lure that and our build homes and schools and things of that nature?
That's for sure. All right, switching gears here. So I'm looking at this headline over at Breitbart. Democrat Senator Jones, we shouldn't impeach Kavanaugh. And where is he now? I thought he was on board, and he's now not on board. What's going on here?
So Sunday, he was on MSNBC, and this is where that New York Times story broke.
Right.
If you don't know about the New York Times story, it alleged that he did some naughty things with his private parks to somebody when he was in college, some kind of drunken thing. But as it turned out, and this was not included in the Times story, the victim didn't even remember it, and she didn't want to really talk about it. And if there's no victim, then what's the crime, right?
Right.
It's just an allegation made up. Well, our friend Doug Jones, he didn't know about that, I guess. So he had to come back and correct that on Sunday night. And that's when he did his about face and said, no, I don't. If the victim doesn't remember it, then we don't need to pursue impeachment in the House of Representatives yet. They're still going to look at it, I think. You still have some lefties there in the House of Representatives that will bring up articles of impeachment of Brett Kavanaugh. But I don't know if they go anywhere. It depends on what the vote is. But it really is a bad look for these guys because the New York Times violated several protocols and had to go back and they had to delete a tweet and they had to add two clarifications to the piece.
What do you think what's the punishment now for something as bad as that? I mean, as a journalist, you're trained all through high school and college to get it right and have your sources and it just seems like that's gone by the wayside with so many different media companies out there. And the New York Times, you would think, would at least be able to, I don't know, what do you think the punishment is for that nowadays?
There's not really any punishment because these papers, their circulation is as low as it can go. I mean, it's not a good time to be in print journalism in 2019. I think it's all baked in now, and they can let your freak flag fly with little repercussions on the economic side. Now, perhaps, it's fodder for the right. I would say the biggest repercussion here is they keep crying wolf and trotting out these sort of these pseudo-allegations that we don't know what they're really allegations or not. And try to pursue impeachment for that, you just hurt your own cause, right? Because then you're not, the next time you have really got something, then who's going to believe it? Because we've been down this road before, guys. You talked impeachment, 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 and you want us to believe you this time. Why is this time any different?
Yeah, and one of the things, and I want to get back to talking impeachment, talk about what was going on yesterday with Lewandowski, but our buddy Todd Stacey and I were talking about this, that if you use any kind of attack or attempted impeachment or whatever on Kavanaugh to somehow stain or put an asterisk by his name for what, maybe a ruling on Roe versus Wade going forward, still doesn't matter. I mean, the ruling is the ruling. I don't know. It's,
right.
It's not like we're talking about elected officials. You know, that's like playing ball, like you're talking about somebody who's going to come up for re-election. We're talking about the Supreme Court justice. What does it matter if you say, there was this mark or that mark, if it didn't turn out to be real and they're not removed from the seat, then what does it matter?
Yeah, you still get the record book and the ruling. That's the way people look at the Trump presidency. It has an asterisk next to it. Look, the left is trying to delegitimize the Supreme Court, and they know a lot of rulings are going to be handed down, and the court's turning conservatives away, and I guess it gives cause maybe 20, 30 years down the line when we have a different court, and perhaps it's left-leaning, that they can get some of these decisions back. I think I want to say real quick about Kavanaugh. The right and the conservatives went whole hog for Kavanaugh in 2018. I mean, that was like, in some ways, it kind of kept the damage of those midterms from being as bad as it could have been, because you kind of rallied the conservative base, if you recall. But is Kavanaugh, I mean, if you notice the trend, and I brought this up in my Laniac column this week, there's kind of a trend underway. You know that the only two Supreme Court justices that aren't from a mid-Atlantic or northeastern state, Neil Gorsuch from Colorado and Clarence Thomas from Georgia, and there seems to be had to be this pedigree, it seems to be from a certain part of the country, it had gone to a certain school, it had to be of a certain religion, and that is what the Supreme Court is now. And you would think with Trump, maybe this next time around, it's different. And maybe look at, and the same goes for Obama. The people that elected Trump and Obama aren't really, I don't think demographically at least, represented on that court.
Okay. So, dude, a couple things here. Number one, it's about the people you know. I mean, you don't have to have the qualifications, but it's people you know. And you also look at, you're talking about the people coming from the Northeast, and you mentioned religion. I would argue, and you're talking about Catholics, right, and Jews, and you're talking about people that maybe you find a version of conservatism in them that can make it, right? I mean, you can talk about whoever you want for a Supreme Court nominee. If they won't make the cut, it's all just for exercise, right? You have to have the most conservative person that can be
confirmed,
right?
But it doesn't look like we ever test those waters going back decades. We don't test the waters of what can and can't be confirmed. We always appoint the same cookie-cutter type of justice to that court. Look, like I said, you got to have certain qualifications. I totally get it. But well, look what we did, the same song and dance with Judge Roberts, right? He let us down on Obamacare. Kavanaugh is showing some signs of weakness. He ruled for Planned Parenthood. He ruled for the Apple's privacy. He's ruled on the liberal side of the court a few times in his very early tenure on that court. That's not conservative in the sense that the people that voted for Trump and elected Trump in that same mindset. It's not the Ted Cruz. That's not the wing that got elected. It's sort of this milquetoast conservative, or, like a lot of people like called rhinos or whatever.
But go back to this. You
said on the court.
Well, you said it hasn't been tested, but I mean, there's some things that I can probably tell you ahead of time. In the environment right now with the Democrats, do you think you're going to get anybody any more conservative than Kavanaugh to be confirmed? I mean,
you have a majority in the Senate of Republicans. I'm not saying that Kavanaugh's going to.
Yeah, but you have squishes too,
Kavanaugh. But they changed the rules. It takes 51 votes to get through the court. It may take a while because Democrats do have delaying tactics, but it's the threshold as far as getting votes in the United States Senate is a lot lower than it was the last few times around. So that seems to be, maybe you get a more ideologically divided court. I don't know what that means, but it does seem possible at least.
All right, just 1 minute left here. What are your thoughts on the next thing we hear about Saudi Arabia and Iran?
Watching that price of oil, you're starting to see the dubs rally a little bit into Congress and talking about we don't need to go to war. We don't, and a lot of that is politics because they want to scare people that think that Trump's going to go start a war because he's crazy. He's big, bad, orange man, crazy man in the White House. I think that's going to be weaponized, but the doves are starting to rally. It looked like it was imminent to me, but as time goes on, I think it's less and less likely.
All right, Jeff Poore, remind folks where they can find you.
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poore.
All right, man, have a good one. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks for having me on, Sean.
Always a pleasure. Coming right back, talking to you. Got a lot of text in here too. We'll talk some rural broadband. Let's just call it broadband of the country, because rural is one of the harder words to say in the English language. So country broadband.
I like it.
All right. Coming right back.
837 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Mitch McConnell from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, good morning, Dalton.
So we've been talking about trucks a lot lately. I know it's football season, which means you could use the truck out at a tailgate. Also, got a lot of work to do. You could tow stuff in that truck. Tell us about the great deals you have right now on trucks.
Well, the deals are great, and the tailgate is great. Speaking of tailgating, you know, if people have not seen this tailgate, I invite them. Our dealership is on Dolphin Street. You know, and the Ford, the Ram, those are incredible trucks. They just don't have this tailgate. Not even the Chevy does, Dalton. And right now, people check that thing out. It has six functions. You can literally kind of put a suitcase in both hands and walk up in the back of that truck if you needed to. And the deals on top of the tailgate and everything else that's great about the truck, the available 6.2-liter engine is another example of a industry leader. We have 20% off the C71 X31 version, man. And that is the biggest discount we've had since the new truck came out. And Dalton, people just need to check the website and hurry up. We got unbelievable selection of colors right now, biggest on the Gulf Coast. And I don't want anybody to buy a truck till they check the new Sierra out. Hopefully, they'll do it at McConnell.
And you mentioned the website, McConnellAutomotive.com. Great pictures of all of your inventory.
Yeah, we got 360 views of it, in fact, so people can check it out. The AT4 version is one of everybody's favorites, and you can just do that thing on your phone or on your computer and see everything we got, buddy.
That's some good stuff. Thank you, Mitch.
Y'all have a great day, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, programming note here for the midday show of noon today. Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson is going to join us. Also, probably stopping by the studio at some point, Mike Gallagher, the show that comes on after us. Mike is in town. If you heard him talk about this yesterday, two $15,000 donors to his charitable efforts here. And he's doing, came in to dinner last night with a donor.
Yep.
And he's going to do a live broadcast today from Fairhope Direct.
Very cool.
So he is, in town, and maybe Mike Gallagher will slide by the studio as well. All right, we'll get to some calls at 343-0106, but from the text line here, interesting. A question about, and I don't have answers to this texter's questions, but I think they bring up some pretty interesting and focused questions. Questions about internet in rural Alabama. I have internet towers all across Baldwin County on property I own. Companies like AT&T and Verizon come to me and offer a 30-year lease to have eminent domain on one small access point to the land to service their tower. Daily, I receive calls from banks wanting to buy the contract.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
That means you're doing something right if a bank wants to come buy it, right?
And I can picture the facilities this person's texting about, because in the radio business, there's some places where you have cell going on or two-way going on. We have the same. They have a footprint, and then you have an access point. Oh, I mean, I've been around these 100 times or two. And it goes on to, this person goes on to write, who will be in charge of picking the spots in rural Alabama where the cell phone towers go? Will individuals be allowed to contact the state or offer up plans and the state go with the lowest bidder? Or is the state going to just come in and take people's land and tell them to deal with it? So this person talking about eminent domain. I own property in Wilcox County, the poorest part of the county. You're talking about doubling up. Wilcox County, I think, is, if not the poorest county in the state, it's the second. I think it is the poorest county in the state. So you got the poorest part of Wilcox County. Mm. Wow. We purposely put our camp where the internet doesn't work so we can get away. By the way, texter, I'm jealous because I'd love to do that, but the nature of our business, I always have to have some kind of cellular connection back here to work.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, no joke. I can see it now. Cell phone towers for sale on every corner, paid for by state tax dollars, yet there's no one that has a phone that needs or wants internet.
Mm.
If they're going to issue contracts, you better watch who gets them. Well said. Well said to that texter. You would have to. There's a lot of opportunity for, if not outright corruption, a little bit of brother-in-law deals going on there. Sure.
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, a lot I don't understand about the broadband business, but I do know that it's the incentive to get out into the, like my parents, for instance, they live in Grove Hill.
Clark County.
Yeah, they live up in Clark County. They have internet, but it's not very good
right
at all. And meanwhile, I, here in Mobile, just had fiber internet buried. And there's people living around here and in other parts of the state that just have, you know, the fastest internet imaginable that you could imagine. But the incentive isn't there for these companies, for the AT&Ts and Comcast, to bury new wire.
It costs a lot of money.
It costs a lot of money, and they aren't going to get the people buying the internet to make up for how much it costs to bury it. But it is leaving those people behind, because watch out, the entertainment world is changing.
Even though you're accurate with entertainment, you could say it's the news and information that they need. And internet.
And I think that's probably, you know, part of the reason why people, and a small part of the reason, but why people are moving out and moving towards big cities. A lot of the people growing up, you know, if you're a teenager, you're going to want internet, and you're not going to want to live in a place that has 2 megabytes per second where you can't stream the latest episode of, you know, The Office or whatever.
Yeah, you can't kick up money to Netflix.
Right.
This texter says, a waste of time. They should work on making satellite internet better instead of figuring out how to get cables out to some of those rural places. Yeah, and that's why, you know, you look at the connectivity of the third world, and people are like, how are they getting that done? They're getting that done through wireless. And, of course, as a radio guy, I'm going to tell you, wireless is best, but yeah, I do have a dog in that hunt. All right. And I want to address one other part of this. I can make the argument both ways. I can argue for the government getting involved and not. And my natural inclination is for the government not to get involved. I want to reduce the size of government. Mm-hmm. Okay. And let me make the argument this way. Where the places where you don't have good internet quite often will be along a dirt road. Why is that dirt road not paved?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like county maintained, not talking about in private property, county maintained dirt roads.
Not worth it.
Not worth the money it takes to pave that road because of a reduced amount of traffic. If all of a sudden there was more traffic, it'd be worth paving the road because you'd have the road grader out there so much, it'd be worth it. Well, might as well just pave it.
Yeah, there might be a family or two you know, it's
so the same thing you could argue for burying internet there, right? To provide internet. The internet's not there for the same reason the paved road is not there. Or, as we know, like Wilcox County or other places, the poorly paved road.
Yeah.
The kind of paved road that knocks the fillings out of your teeth. So, I mean, there's maybe some analog there. Look, we're not paving the road to there, so we're not sending the internet there as well. At the same time, is this something that is like electricity, you know, and the incentives that were taken on by TVA and other, is it a co-op thing where you need to have these communities co-op to somehow provide their own internet? But you heard the story from Jeff. Here are the folks in Opelika that do their own thing to try to say, okay, y'all aren't going to do it, we'll do it. Mm-hmm. And then they try to shut them down.
Yeah. And what about 5G also? You know, this new...
I think it's made up.
Yeah.
I think there's no such thing. There's some people advertising 5G. I looked at it, and it's... Or it's like...
5GE.
Yeah.
It's AT&T,
which is not even really 5G.
No, it's still LTE.
Right.
It's 5G Evolution.
Evolution, which is not 5G.
Right. They just want you to know that they will have 5G one day.
Okay, when y'all see that, what Dalton's talking about, this 5GE, that's what the article I was reading. It is not 5G.
I was sitting in here with you last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, when it popped up on my phone. I've got AT&T. It says 5GE. And I went, whoa. Sean, I've got 5G now, and 5G is supposed to be, you know, as fast as like fiber internet, meaning it downloads things at just an unimaginable speed. You could download a full movie in just a few seconds. That's what 5G is supposed to be bringing, and it's supposed to be put up on cell towers just like you get 4G or LTE, internet right now. But what will that mean? Will that, you won't need, if it truly is as fast as people say it is, and if they're able to get these 5G towers put up most places, then you really won't need to bury wire.
Right. That's it. Like I said, we're kind of in the wireless world. Although, as a provider of content, we go wireless, we go internet, you know, we go cellular, which is wireless too, of course. I mean, we go traditional. So we're looking for all platforms. We're feeding information to all platforms. But is it going to be worth the money for wired infrastructure to get to those places? Or like that texter said, you're talking about, is it better to work on wireless? Or like this texter said, is there going to be a tower, you know, a big boom of buying properties all over rural Alabama to put these towers up, and at what cost?
Hmm.
Let's grab a call or two here, and Cliff is in Mobile. I'm first up. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, bud.
So what's
going on? go ahead.
No, say, what's going on, man?
Hey, if you remember back in the day, you may not remember, but AT&T, when it was a cell phone company, actually had a contract with the government to provide power in those, telephone service in those rural communities. And in exchange, you know, they had exclusive contracts out there, that was when they split off with Bell South and all that. But, I mean, the government stepped in and said, hey, if you're going to get, you know, prices here, you need to spread out to these areas, too. So they got a little incentive to spread out to those areas.
Okay, so it's kind of like I was talking about. Instead of the government getting in the business, they just made it, they incentivized the private sector to do something that maybe they wouldn't have done anyway.
Yes.
That model, which is still the government involvement, but it's, I think, one better than the government actually owning the land and the structures and those kind of things.
I agree with you. I hate the government being bigger, but, you know, if they're going to dip their nose into something, instead of them creating more government employees, maybe grow private companies.
God forbid. God forbid, right? We grew the private sector. Oh, my gosh. Great call, Cliff. I appreciate it. Coming right back, we'll grab a couple more on this. And it's going to be interesting going forward, because this is something I think comes up in session this year as one of the things that Governor Ivey talked about. Remember in her inaugural speech when she wasn't talking about tolling on the I-10 Bayway? And she mentioned rural, or as I call it, country broadband.
So is she going to bring internet everywhere except for Baldwin and Mobile counties?
Same thing. I said, if you let the government be in charge of internet, if you make Montgomery mad, there's a big switch there. They said, give me the switch for Southwest Alabama. Y'all are off. No more kittens on skateboards YouTubing for you. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Boardings. Glad to have you along. And phone line, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Let us add this to the mix as well. We talked about 5G. He wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it for my friend, Dalton. We never said gigs. 5G's, like somebody said, that's five, you know, that stands for generation.
Yeah.
We know that. We're not, that wasn't confusing. What we were laughing about is this 5G E.
Yeah, that AT&T has.
Okay, and everybody's all excited. Oh, it's 5G. It isn't 5G.
No, it's basically the same. Maybe they're setting it up. Maybe it's the right infrastructure for eventually when 5G is put in. But and I think a lot of people do think that the G and whatever it is. Did we start with 3G? Is that what? There's been 3G, 4G.
Well, what the heck happened to 1G?
LTE.
What happened to 2G?
It was just G. OG.
What happened to the original
the first
G?
One?
Yes.
But yeah, it stands for generation. Like that's the fifth generation of, you know, whatever cell service that's coming to America. But what people have been talking about with this 5G, and I'm seeing now, I said it could download up to a gigabyte per second. Mm-hmm. They said that this peak data rate is 300 megabits per second, which is still a lot faster than most people's internet has been for the last few decades. But what AT&T has gone out and done is this 5GE, and you look at your phone and you're like, wow, I've already got 5G. I've got the freshest, newest technology.
Not
but it's,
really.
It's kind of just AT&T saying, nah, we're working on it.
It's probably good branding. Probably very good branding.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Hey, let me tell you quickly here. We're going to grab some calls, but I want to tell you about our friends at Lightstream. You know, refinancing your credit card balances can lower your interest rate and save you money. You don't have to be a financial expert to pull this off either, because right now you can get a credit card consolidation loan from the folks at Lightstream with a rate as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay, lower than the average credit card interest rate, which nationally is 19% APR. That means you could save thousands of dollars in interest. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 bucks, and there are no fees, no application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, no prepayment penalties. And you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply, and the online application so easy, you can even do it right there on your phone. Hey, and for y'all, you can apply now and get a special interest rate discount. Now, the only way to get that discount is to go to the website lightstream.com/Sullivan, LIGHTSTREAM. SullivanFM.com/Sullivan, SULLIV as in Victor, AN. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, grab some calls here. And first up, David in Mobile. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean, I'm out actually in the rural parts of Baldwin County checking out the rural broadband now, so if I cut in and out, that's why.
Country broadband. All
congratulations.
Right.
Yeah.
But real quickly, I promise this is a complete coincidence, but my conversation that went live on Bama Politics is about rural broadband.
Well, by the way, good for you said rural three times and not messed it up. You're better than me.
Anyway, real quickly, yeah. The Alabama Broadband Accessibility Act is more of government grants to private businesses to help expand their wired networks for broadband into more rural communities. But that's not going to solve the all of the problem. You're going to have to incorporate wireless technologies to solve all of the problem of getting the broadband speeds all across the state. And there's an interesting technology out there that's actually owned by Microsoft that the FCC is helping them work to expand the spectrum on the TV spectrum, whatever y'all call the wireless ranges on the wireless TV spectrum. To where you can have wireless tower in cities like Monroe.
Speaking of wireless towers, that one was dropping your call out. David, I appreciate it. Check out his story over at BamaPolitics.com. Yeah, pretty interesting read. Let's go to Erica, South Baldwin County. Hey, Erica.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. So what's your take on this?
Okay, just listening to y'all, and I'm just a common citizen, don't have a lot of detail, but I live south of I-10, and we've always had CenturyLink. It's been a long time for someone else to come in, and the only other people that have come in have been wireless. And, you know, the weather, of course, messes with that. But regardless, any of it that you have, we seem to have problems down here with the speed. The speed never stays up to par what it's supposed to be. My son had recently gotten a job with a wireless company that was installing internet, and they were installing it north of I-10, and he was telling me how amazing their internet was. And the company had wanted to come down here south of I-10 and install wireless internet, but the problem was, because of the military base down here, the government owns that wavelength. And so we will never, south of I-10, have the broadband that the other people have north of I-10. So
that's interesting.
As far as the government controlling something, like, we're kind of already limited by them down here, and we're not even really that rural compared to North Alabama.
That's for sure. Erica, I appreciate your call. We are out of time. By the way, side note, you know, the government owns all of the spectrum. Like 106.5 FM, we lease this from the federal government, which, by the way, we begin our renewal season up next month. Yeah, so we got application time. You know how much money it's going to cost us?
A lot. That's why I can't say, I just won't say it.